Morning. Are you all awake?
Yes.
Well, these people up here are awake.
We are ready.
All right. So thank you for being here this morning. We are so glad that you are here. If you are a guest with us, we want to say welcome. And hopefully when you came in, you received a welcome packet. Inside that welcome packet is a little card. If you'll just take a moment and fill that out and either drop it in the offering plate when it comes by or leave it on the information table out in the foyer, that would be very, very helpful. And we're just so thankful that every one of you is here to be able to share today with us. Today is Mother's Day. And here at Lake Hazel Bible Church, not only do we celebrate mothers, we celebrate women. And so I'm going to say a little bit more about that as we go on. Hopefully when you came in, you also received the bulletin. Will you get that? And if you have one, if not, please make sure that you get one on the way out because it's chock full of important information. So this Tuesday night at 6 o'clock, and men, this is a change from our normal time, 6 o'clock is men's Bible study here at the church. This will be our last Bible study before the fall. And so before the fall season, I should say that. And so just take note of the time change. So men, what time is Bible study this week?
I don't know.
6 o'clock. 6 o'clock, all right? So be here, be ready to meet at 6 o'clock. We will be doing the last chapter in the book that we've been studying this whole fall and winter and spring. So that'll be really good. Wednesday at 2 p.m. here at the church, we have our Joy Bible Study. Again, we're doing our review of the book of Revelation. And so if you can come and join us for that, that would be really great. Saturday morning at 10 a.m. here at the church is Ladies Coffee Connection. And so, ladies, this is an opportunity for you to be able to gather together, and I know that you're going to have a really great time. Also, next Sunday, right after the morning service, is our church family dinner, and it's a taco bar. And I just looked at the sign-up sheet out on the information table. There's a lot of spaces that are empty. That means there's a lot of room for people to put their names in there to be able to help bring food. So this morning before you leave, stop by the information table. Please make sure that you put your name so that we can make sure that we will have plenty of food to be able to have just an enjoyable time next Sunday after the morning service for our taco bar. This will be our church family dinner. If you have any questions, see me, and I'll try to answer those questions for you. There's other announcements in the bulletin. Not going to take the time to go over those, but it is Mother's Day, and so on Mother's Day, we usually like to recognize some special ladies in our church. And so I don't know how this is going to work. I always enter this with fear and trembling and trepidation. So, we want to honor the mother who came from a distance to be with her daughter, who is also a mother. So, if that jumbled up category makes any sense to you, would you stand? Both the mother and the daughter who's a mother. I know there's somebody here who fits this category. So, Jennifer, stand up. Have your mother stand up. Okay. Yes, I rigged this, okay?
Thank you.
You are very welcome. All right, let's give them a hand. And your mom, Jennifer, came from where?
Oregon,
to be able to be here today. There was other reasons why they're here, but they're here with us this morning. All right, so let's see. Let's see if we can find the youngest mother present. Have to be present, okay? All right. So is there, man, I don't even want to start sharing numbers.
No,
you're not a mother.
No,
the mother who's the youngest. The mother whose age is the youngest. All right. So if you're a mother and you're in your 20s, 30s, come on, be honest, okay, all right, okay, keep standing, okay, Nope. Sarah. How old? What? No. Lisa, stand up. Who else? What else? What? How old? Okay. All right. You know what? I had a suggestion that I think is a good idea. We'll just give them to both. Okay? There you go, Sarah. All right. Now, we want to honor the mother who has a graduating high school senior this year. Graduating high school senior this year. She's already standing. No, I bet, truth be known, I know what putting kids through school was like. I know Becky had to do a lot of it on her own because I traveled as an Awana missionary, and a lot of it fell to her. So I know how hard of work that is. All right, so I got one more. So let's honor, and I really don't want to do this. Let's honor the mother who this will be her last Mother's Day with us here at Lake Hazel Bible Church. So Lori, stand up. All right? So in a couple weeks, Lori and her husband Jeremy are moving to Florida. And so there's a card in the nursery for you to be able to sign. Jeremy and Lori, don't go sign the card. Okay? It's for all the rest of us to be able to go and sign the card. So
they can still visit.
No, once they leave, they can't come back. What is it? No, that's not true. All right. Jeremy says he'll be back several times during the year, so we'll see. Because the company he works for is still here in Boise. But anyway, we're going to miss them. And so, all right, so let's give them a hand, or give her a hand. All right. Well, that went a whole lot better than I thought. Great job. Oh, also, ladies, after the morning worship service, on the information table will be a little gift bag, just a little treat for you to be able to take. One per lady, okay? All of the ladies. So I want to have all of the women in the service this morning stand. And I'd like to have a word of prayer for all of you. All of the women, let's pray. Father, we are so grateful for the gift of the women that you have given to us here at Lake Hazel Bible Church. We are so grateful for the gift of women that you have given to us that add so much to our church, add so much to our families, add so much to our community. Father, they are treasures. And Lord, we want them to feel as they are a part of us here at Lake Hazel Bible Church today and maybe in the days yet to come, that Lake Hazel Bible Church is a place where they can come and they can feel treasured, that our families, our homes is a place that they can come and they can be treasured. Father, we thank you for the gift that each and every one of them are. We pray that today they will all have a wonderful Mother's Day, however they're going to choose to celebrate it. Father, may it not just be a day for mothers, may it be a day for all women. Thank you for blessing them. Thank you for blessing us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Are you ready to lift your voices in praise? Let's do it.
Well, you're going to stand back up anyway, so come on back on your feet. We're going to sing a couple songs about how awesome God is. Is that okay?
Amen.
Good. All right.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm bound in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of Blessed be your name. When the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be, blessed be your name. And blessed be your name. On the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. You give and take, you give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name.
We've come into your house today to say, blessed is your name, greater than us, higher than us. Lord, you are worthy of all praise. So, Lord, we are here for you. We are here to praise you today. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Salvation belongs to our God, who sits upon the throne, and unto the Lamb praise and glory, wisdom and thanks, honor and power and strength. And glory. be seated as we continue this morning. Whew. I love praising the Lord. How about you?
Amen.
Come on. Everyone needs compassion, love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior. Fears and failures, fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. Father, we are so thankful that you are mighty to save. We are so thankful that we can count on you. You're the only one trustworthy and true forever to the end. Lord, your steadfast love, your unfailing faithfulness is why we trust in you. It's why we can have hope in what you say is true. Lord, today there are people in this place who are dealing with difficult things in their lives. May we all come to you as our hope, as our future, as our guidance, as our salvation, because everyone needs a Savior. Lord, we lift you high today. We praise you, Lord. You are good. You are worthy. And we love you. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. Yeah, you came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross. My
I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. Oh, you came from
going to take this morning's offering. We're going to sing you one more song, and I hope and I pray you've had a chance to worship God today and praise his name. He is good. Amen.
Who can melt the hardest heart and speak life into my soul? Who can spin the world around and hold me ever close? Who can search the depths of me? Love me to the core. Who controls the world I see and walks me through it all? No one but you. The righteous bright, who has paved my way with grace, love me through my darkest hours a thousand different ways. No one but you. See the skies light up every heart. I'll sing of your love. I can't get enough. I just want you. The Lord of my soul, the King of my heart, Jesus, it's you.
For that, all through the sermon this morning. Thank you, worship team. Another great job of putting music together to go with the message. All right, children, come on down. We'll get you ready for children's church. Those shoes still light up, don't they? Mine don't. Mine are broke. All right. Did y'all tell Mom Happy Mother's Day today? Yeah? Going to take her out for dinner today? You're going to pay? Good deal. Oh, okay. Maybe not. Okay. All right. Let's pray. Lord, we are just so grateful to be able to gather here this morning, to be able to just lift our voices, to sing your praises. And now, Father, I pray that our hearts, our minds, our ears will be open as we worship you by hearing your word. So, Father, I just pray that you will speak to us. Father, you will show us what it is that you want us to know and help us to be able to practice it in each and every one of our lives. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. While they're being dismissed, turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Exodus chapter 20. If you came this morning expecting to hear a Mother's Day message, whatever that is, you might be a little disappointed. But I put the warning out last week that we were going to start today looking at each one of the Ten Commandments from an individual basis, continuing on in our study of the book of Exodus. I was telling that to someone this week that I probably wasn't going to preach what would be a traditional Mother's Day message. And they said, you're going to preach from the Bible, right? I said, yes. They said, so what's the problem with that? So I kind of agree with them. So last Sunday, we set the table for our study of the Ten Commandments. And we talked about, I wanted to set the table so well that it would help us to be able to be hungry as we take a look individually at each one of these Ten Commandments. And wouldn't you know, and I spent in the introduction last week a long time setting the stage by talking about this fancy restaurant and fancy dinner that Becky and I went to once. And there was so much silverware on the table that it was confusing. There was multiple forks, multiple spoons, multiple knives, multiple bowls. It was like, well, guess what? I went to a dinner last night, and the atmosphere at this dinner was really nice. The food at this dinner was really delicious. But I sat down at my place and I unrolled my napkin, and guess what? There was multiple forks. So I turned to some of the people that were sitting next to me who were in church last week, and I said to them, so which fork do I use? And these twin girls were sitting across from me. I've known them since they were really, really small. And they said, don't worry about it, Pastor Sam. Just use whichever one you want. And I went, whoa, you weren't even there on Sunday. So that's really good. So last week we talked about the purpose of the Ten Commandments. The purpose of the Ten Commandments is not to give us a ladder to salvation. The purpose of the Ten Commandments is for us to see that we are sinners. And so that we will see our need for Jesus, the Savior. That's the only purpose of the Ten Commandments, is to show us that we cannot measure up to God's perfect standard. We talked about in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the Ten Commandments is a reminder to us of that. Now, I'm going to share with you some important information about these commands. So 8 of these commands are negative. No other gods, no idols, don't take God's name in vain, no murder, no adultery, no stealing, no lying, no coveting. While 2 are positive, remember to rest and honor your parents. Now, there's an 11th commandment that somebody in our church is breaking. It's do not move to Florida. I know, I've been trying to tell them too. In fact, somebody asked me last night, don't you have any authority to tell them they can't move? It's like, no, I don't have that authority. But sometimes our impressions of the Ten Commandments are only negative. There was a newspaper editor who asked one of his reporters to summarize the Ten Commandments for an article. After a few minutes, the reporter came back with one word scratched in large letters on a piece of paper. Don't. But when it comes to the Ten Commandments, the negative aspect isn't the complete picture. Nine of the Ten Commandments are repeated and reinforced in the New Testament. Did you know that? Nine of the Ten Commandments are repeated and reinforced in the New Testament. The only one not reinforced in the New Testament is keeping the Sabbath. So the first commandment given is this: there is one God. Now, I had a discussion with somebody the other day, and Robert, I know I told you I wasn't going to do this, but I'm going to do this. I had a discussion with somebody this week, and they said, you know, Pastor, theology can be broken down into one phrase or two statements. And I said, really? And he said, yes. And I said, what is that? He said, there is one God, and we're not it. The first commandment tells us there is one God. And the first commandment tells us some important truths about God. Whether we're a man or a woman or a teen or a child makes no difference. These truths are in place, and these truths are there for every single one of us. So I want us to look for this morning at some of these truths. The first truth is this: he proclaims. Hopefully by now you found Exodus chapter 20 in your Bibles. Listen to verses 1 and 2. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. God said, I am the Lord your God. The name for God here is Elohim, which refers to God as creator, king, judge, and savior. This name is in the plural form. Whenever you are reading in the Old Testament and you read a word that has the I am after it, that always speaks to the fact that that word is always to be used in the plural. Have you ever read the Old Testament and you came to cherubim and seraphim? Cherubim means many angels. Seraphim means many angels. Elohim means plural. It is a reference for the Trinity. So here in verse 1, God reveals himself by using the words, and God spoke all these words, saying. One Bible commentator said, God himself was the speaker. In tone so loud has to be heard, so distinct has to be intelligible by the whole multitude standing in the valley of Mount Sinai together. Now the word spoke means to say or promise. All of these words come from God. And because they come from God, therefore they have truth and authority. All of God's words have truth and authority. Now, having been in Egypt for 400 years, the Israelites needed God to speak. They needed words to know who God was and what he wanted from them. Remember, most of the time, as the Israelites were hearing from God, they were hearing from God from Moses and Aaron. Now God is saying, you're going to hear directly from me. As you've come to Mount Sinai, as I've brought you to Mount Sinai, now you are going to hear directly from me. And God is going to tell them who he is and what he wants from them. The same goes for us today. All of us, men, women, children, teens, and we have the words of God. We know it has the Bible. And the words in this Bible come to us from God with truth and authority. The second thing that we see here in the first commandment is that God is powerful. Did you Remember what it says in verse 2? I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. He says, I am the Lord. Whenever you see the word Lord, all in capital letters, this is the name Yahweh, which is how God revealed himself to the Israelites and before the Israelites to Moses. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, remember when we studied chapter 3? God said to Moses, I am who I am. Now this is interesting in the Hebrew because this is a combination of three Hebrew words, which means he that will be, he that is, he that was. So this title refers to God as the self-existent one who has no beginning and will have no end. So whenever you see the word Lord, all in capital letters, L-O-R-D, it's the name Yahweh. This name for God is used over 6,800 times in the Old Testament. Three times more than Elohim. This name is also translated as Jehovah. This name was considered so sacred that when scribes would write this name, they would take a bath beforehand and then destroy the pen afterward. This name was so revered, it was only said out loud once a year on the Day of Atonement, and then only by the high priest as he ministered in the Holy of Holies. To set this name apart from any other name, when it was written, the scribes used four consonants and left out the vowels so people would not inadvertently take it in vain. They would write the consonants YHWH. Not only does this first commandment tell us that God is powerful, it tells us he is personal. Look at verses 2 and 3. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. Your God, he says. The word your is a second person singular pronoun. This indicates to us that God is powerful and he is also personal. He is majestic, but yet he is mine. He's never ending and he's near. He has revealed himself so we can know him relationally. He is personal. This is first person intimacy that stems from first person authority. Now you might be going, whoa, Pastor Sam, that's pretty deep. You're right. When we start studying about God, it gets pretty deep. This is first person intimacy. He is a personal God. And that stems from first person authority. And we see this personal relationship reinforced throughout these Ten Commandments. In verse 5, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. In verse 7, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God. In verse 10, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. And in verse 12, honor your father and your mother that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Do you see that? He is personal. We're told who God is, and now we're reminded what he has done. Look at the last part of verse 2. Who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Ultimately, it's not about what I do. It's not about what you do. It's about who he is. It's not about us performing. It's all about God, who he is, and what he has done. Not only in the past, but what he's doing in the present, and what he's going to do in the future. This is so important to keep in mind. Why is it important to keep in mind? Because when we focus on God's work of redemption for us, on God's amazing grace, how can we not want a personal relationship with him? God made me. God paid for me. He purchased me. He bought and brought me out of the slavery of sin. And when I realize all of that, I should want to have a relationship with God. He's done that for all of you. And you should want to have a relationship with him. So a very personal God gives this first command. Now remember, the stage has already been set. God spoke to more than a million people assembled at the base of the mountain. Not just a group, but to individual men and women, boys and girls. This is an intensely personal command from a very personal God. And what does he say? You shall have no other gods before me. In order of the words of this command, to understand them, we need to look at the Hebrew, because in the Hebrew, these words are very strong. In the Hebrew, it can be read like this. There shall not be to you any other gods, little g, before me. This is an unconditional prohibition. God is saying, do not ever, or let there not be to thee any other gods, little g. Now, these words not only prohibit polytheism and idolatry, but it also demands reverence. And remember, reverence means keeping God in his proper place, not bringing him down to that which is common. It demands reverence, love, and worship of God alone. And all of those are important aspects of our relationship with God. Now, he uses a word that's really interesting, the word before. And the word before can mean above, over, against, or in opposition to. He says, do not have any other gods, little g, above me, over me, against me, or in opposition to my face. Don't even bring them close to me. That's what God is saying. In fact, one Hebrew scholar renders it this way. There shall absolutely not be other gods, little g, besides or before my face or person. This phrase before me can be understood in a couple different ways. The first is before my face. In this sense, it means to have no other gods, little g, in front of me or in my presence. So you know what? This forbids us from bringing idols into the place where God is worshiped. This forbids us from bringing idols into the place God is worshiped. Now, you might be saying, well, wait a minute, Pastor. That would be foolish. We wouldn't bring any idols into the church. We wouldn't bring any false gods into the church. It's not limited to just the church building. But it also includes our very hearts, our minds, our bodies, and our lives. Remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and I think it's in verse 6, and I think it's verse 19? It says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of God, and that you have been bought with a price? We're not to bring idols, we're not to bring false gods into our bodies, our minds, our hearts, or our lives. There's also the understanding that it could be used in my face. And this phrase has the idea of putting something in someone's face. Have you ever had a discussion with someone, and the longer that the discussion got, and the louder that the discussion got, and the more emotional that the discussion got, the closer that person came to you as you were in this debate? And as they get too close, as they step over that imaginary line, whatever that is, whatever your mind and heart was telling you where that line is, what would you say? Get out of my... Hello? That's what God is saying here. If you've got other gods, little g, that are part of your life, don't bring them to my... Get them out of my face. God is serious about this, folks. And because God is serious about this, guess what? We ought to be serious about this as well. When we don't give God our total and exclusive allegiance, it's like insulting him to his face. Now imagine when somebody says something mean about you, when somebody says something nasty about you, when you're carrying on a conversation with somebody and all of a sudden they walk away. They don't say, excuse me, I got something else I need to do. They just walk away. How that hurts. How that hurts your heart. How that hurts you. When we give our lives, our minds, our bodies, our souls to the allegiance of a false god or an idol, imagine how that hurts the heart of God. God is saying, you dare not bring even the acknowledgement of any other so-called god into my face. No other gods allowed, period. And if that's not enough for you, listen to some verses from the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 44, verse 8. God says, fear not, nor be afraid. Have I not told you from of old and declared it? You are my witnesses. Is there a God besides me? There is no rock, capital R. I know not any. Isaiah chapter 45, verses 5 through 6. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. Capital G. I equip you, though you do not know me, that people may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. I am Yahweh, and there is no other. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 18. For thus says the Lord, Yahweh, who created the heavens, he is God, who formed the earth and made it, he established it. He did not create it empty. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord and there is no other. Can those verses be any clearer? I don't believe so. God doesn't want to be one of many things in your life. He wants to be everything. God doesn't want to be one of many things in your life. He wants to be everything. He doesn't want to share you with anyone or anything. Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 8 says, I am the Lord. That is my name. I will not give my glory to another or my praise to idols. Now this goes back to one of the phrases which came out of the Reformation. Soli Deo Gloria. Which means glory to God alone. God is saying, you give me glory alone. He's saying to Pastor Sam, you give me glory alone. Now, why is this important? Because for 400 years, the Israelites were surrounded by people who practiced polytheism, which is the worship of many gods. The Egyptians prayed to the rain god when the ground was dry. When their wives were barren, they cried out to the fertility gods. But these Israelites saw God's amazing outpouring of power through the 10 plagues and the power and majesty of God displayed here on Mount Sinai. Remember last week? We talked about the thunder. We talked about the sound of a trumpet that kept getting louder and louder. We talked about the very ground around the mountain trembling and shaking and quaking. They saw with their own eyes, they experienced with their own senses the power and the majesty of God. And what was the first commandment God wanted to give them? That he is God and there is no other. What did he say? You shall have no other gods before me. Now, there have always been many gods, little g, wanting attention. The god Baal represented power, but remember he was put in place by Elijah on top of Mount Carmel. One of my favorite Bible characters is Elijah. And I just love it when he goes to put the prophets of Baal, this false god, in their place. The idol Ashtaroth was worshipped through all sorts of sexual immorality. Pleasure is like a drug. It often requires more and more to get the same effect. And it doesn't matter what it is that we as human beings are trying to use, to gain pleasure. This God is still bowed down today through the immoral things available in our world. The Syrian deity called Mammon was all about materialism and money. Someone referred to this God as the God, the gift of grab. I kind of like that, don't you? You'll all get that at lunch today. Molech called worshipers to sacrifice their children by throwing them into the fire. And when you count the babies sacrificed to the idol of abortion in America and add in those who were abused and neglected, we can see that Molech is alive and well today. The Greek god Hermes represented athletic prowess in sport, and Nike was the goddess of victory. And many in our culture today are worshiping at the shrine of sports. Ouch. Today, our culture worships the false gods of relativism and pluralism, where absolutes are absolutely ignored. But none of this is new. Remember our study from the book of Ecclesiastes? Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 9. Solomon says, what has been is what will be, and what has been done is what will be done, and there is nothing new under the sun. So why is this a problem? This is a problem because you and I are created to worship. And when we don't worship God alone, we will find something or someone else to give our worship to. We need to take heart what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 or verse 4. We know that an idol has no real existence and that there is no God but one. I think God's making it pretty clear. So what have we learned as we've hopefully spent a good amount of time studying this first commandment? I want to leave you with a question. Does your heart and life contain false gods, little g? Does your heart and life contain false gods? Now, before you're quick to answer, just hold on to something. Because if you said, no, I don't think so, I don't think so is problematic. We should be able to say, nope, there isn't. Because if I was to say to you, so, if you say that God is first place in your life, and I ask you, what is second? You see, whatever it is that came to your heart and mind when I said, what is second, is a threat to that which ought to be first. Does your heart and life contain false gods? You might say, okay, Pastor Sam, I'm doing this evaluation in my heart and in my mind. How do I know? Let me give you a checklist. First, do I love or treasure anything or anyone more than God? Second, do I prioritize anything or anyone before God? Number three, does anything bring me more pleasure than the things of God? Number four, do I place my identity in anything over my status as a child of God? You know, there are a lot of believers who do this. Their identity is in a whole lot of different things. Some of them even good. I pastored a church in Central Washington. And when I went to that church as an assistant pastor, one of the older men in the church who had been in the church for a long, long time, had been very active in the church, he took me on a tour of the church. He didn't show me the rooms. He didn't show me the places where things are stored. He didn't show me any of that. He took me to the walls, and he said, in these walls, Pastor, I nailed in every stud. He took me to this room that had tile on the floor. He said, I laid every one of these squares of tile in this room. He took me to places, and he would say, as I was hammering these boards together to be able to form this door frame, I hit my finger, and man, did it hurt. And it seemed like it bled forever. And some of my blood is on the inner parts of this doorpost. His identity wasn't in God. His identity is in what he had done around that church, in the building of that church. Do I place my identity in anything over my status as a child of God? Number five, do I look to anything or anyone to meet my needs instead of God? Do I seek fulfillment or satisfaction from anything outside of God? Do I seek comfort outside of God? You might be saying, whoa. Okay, Pastor Sam. So how do we keep idols and false gods from being a part of us? Let me give you the answer. Love God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, and with all of your strength. Because God desires your absolute affection. That is why he says, there shall be no other gods before me. Father, I thank you for what it is that you have taught us this morning. Thank you for speaking to us from your word. Father, help us to be able to know that we have no other gods, little g, but you. You are God, capital G. May it make a difference in the way that we live. May it make a difference in the way that we serve. May it make a difference in the way that we worship you each and every moment of each and every day. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you all stand with me for this last song?
As morning dawns and evening fades, you inspire songs of praise that rise from earth to touch your heart and glorify your name. Your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your